for me, attention is a form of like, is how I know I'm feeling like loved. Mm-hmm. And so if someone is attending to me and not in like a sexual necessarily way, but, and is also like very intentional, going slow, thinking about where they're touching, to me, that feels like such a form of love.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Girls Gone Deep, where we talk about all things ethical non-monogamy, sex, kink, and all the shit that goes on in our heads in between. I am V, and in this episode, we have a ton of tips and tricks on how to have a sexy sensation play session with your partner. So we cover what tools you can use, from the more high-end fancy ones to the everyday items you have lying around your house, to what to do when you have nothing but yourselves to use, what kinds of things you should talk about beforehand. We learned a lot in this conversation, and we hope that you do too. I personally love receiving sensation play because it gives me a chance to get out of my head and into my body, which is a continuous challenge for me. And it also really makes me feel loved and adored by the person who is my top in the scene. And I love giving it so that I can provide the same feelings for my bottom. So this is something that I've kind of articulated as my reason for really loving sensation play. And we really encourage you to think of your reasons why you might want to do this with your partner or explore this with your partner too. The pro we have on to talk about it is Sarah Eve, who is remaining anonymous for privacy reasons. I met her at the Daytime Playtime party we recapped in episode 63. You can find the link in the description to listen to that one. She led a mini workshop at that on sensory play, and I was so impressed with her passion for it that I immediately asked to have her on to share her knowledge and tips with all of you. So we hope you are as inspired as I was and we were to have a session with your partner too, or solo for that matter. And we want to hear all about it. Now let's get deep. Our mutual friend. And I was like, oh yeah, we're going to be talking to someone about sensation play today. And I was like, do you have any questions or, you know, things to ask? And he was like, sensation play. I'm too lazy for that. Can oh you guess gosh. Who it would be?
It's in our, I don't know. I don't know who it would be. There's so many people with you.
Yeah. It's someone we've had on the podcast before, and he's like, no, I don't like to do a lot of work.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I think I'd have an idea. That's funny.
Yeah. Anyway, welcome to Girls Gone Deep, where we talk about everything sex, kink, non-monogamy, all the shit that goes on in between. Today, we are talking about sensation play with Sarah Eve.
Thanks for being here.
Oh, thanks for having me. Yeah. Sensation play is work. So I get it.
It is. It takes intention. It's like a session you have to plan out, I feel like, and have a discussion beforehand and figure it all out before you even get started. It is work.
Yeah. So I found you because I went to this Daytime Playtime party and you did a mini workshop on sensation play. And I thought it was so awesome. And I came up to you afterwards and I was like, I have to have you on the podcast because you're so articulate. And, you know, I've dabbled in playing with sensations before, but you had so many tools. It was so funny. You came out with like your huge bag and just like dumped it out. And there was everything from like butter knives to tinsel to floggers, everything in there.
Oh, I'm so excited to hear all these things.
Yeah. So I guess I'd like to ask, you know, first of all, since this is a non-monogamy podcast, what's your relationship with non-monogamy, sex, and kink?
I would definitely say that I fall under the non-monogamous umbrella. not quite poly because having multiple relationships that are romantic sounds a little bit exhausting, but it, on principle, I have a partner and on principle, we are fully open to date whoever. There are no vetoes or rules. There are, you know, let's have conversations about it if I'm concerned about someone you're seeing, but I identify more with the non-monogamous broader term than polyamorous specifically. And then in terms of kink and sex, yes and yes.
That's awesome.
So with kink and sex, do you think sensation play is like a major, major part of it for you? Or are there other facets that you're really interested in?
Yeah, sensation play is a huge part of it. I like sensation play a lot, and I like kind of psychological play. I'm not an impact girly. Pain is not really of interest to me. Pain with a purpose, maybe, but pain just for pain's sake doesn't really interest me. So it's usually either some kind of like sensation play or kind of psychological, like bringing out like a feeling of fear or feeling of being captured or feeling of being dominated or dominant. Sometimes paired with sensation play.
So playing in sensation. So like, I love sensation play. I think for me, I love receiving it. I don't mind. I enjoy giving it as well because you like to give what you receive as well. And so for me, it just really gets me into my body and out of my head and helps me focus more on like literally feeling and what do I like about this? What is happening to my clit, my pussy, all that good stuff while you're doing all these, almost like not even touching an erogenous zone, but I'm feeling turned on. And I just love to see how my body reacts to non-erogenous touch, but just more intention. So when you're doing sensation, are you the giver? Are you the receiver? Where do you usually find yourself in that play?
Before we get into that, I want to first start by like kind of defining sensation
play. I was just thinking that. I was like, wait a second. We keep saying this. What is sensation play?
It's so broad. It's focusing on the senses. It's play that focuses on heightening or decreasing, intensifying or de-intensifying certain senses. So blindfolding is sensation play because a lack of sight is going to stimulate your sensation, your other sensations in a different way, or is going to just, you're interacting with the world through your senses in a different way. But also you can add something, either something to look at, something to touch, something to taste, and play with sensations in that way too. Sensation play can have a pain element to it, but doesn't necessarily. The main way that people play with it is usually through touch. But there's definitely a way to play with the other senses as well.
I'd love to say what some of those are.
I mean, looking at something, you know, simulating, especially if someone's like restrained so they can't touch, but they can only look. That is even like a very low grade level of sensation, but pretty accessible. But then there's also like, if you have a scent that really like has some like sexy memories to it. Right. You can focus on that. Or one of my favorite ways beyond touch to play with sensation is using my violet wand for sound. So a violet wand is an electroplay tool and it makes a buzzing sound when it's turned on. And I can turn it on without any attachment. So it literally can't shock anyone. It's just the buzzing sound. And if someone has that association between the buzzing sound and the shocking feeling, just turning on that buzzing sound and putting it near their ear can be so stimulating.
So I am into impact play. And sometimes I find my body like bracing for the impact. And like whoever's spanking me will like hold off on spanking me. And like I'll feel that kind of like adrenaline rushing through my body, anticipating the spank. And then if they like touch me, like surprise me by touching me with something soft, it's like, oh my God. So I can imagine that it's similar with that violet wand, like expecting the zap kind of, but so like intensifying your whole body and expecting the feeling, but then not giving it to them. Oh my God. And then it just like that energy coursing through your body.
This plays into the psychology behind it too, right? Because it's faking you out. It's making you anticipate. And that's so fun. There's a couple things that you touched on that I just realized about myself is every time I hear the word sensation play, I generally think of just touch. Like that is my primary go-to. And then when you started talking about the sound and only watching, and then even the words you use, sensitizing and desensitizing other parts, other senses, just I just realized how narrow my thought was around that. And so I'm happy that you mentioned those things.
Scent and candles and oils and perfumes. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know what's so funny is our group of friends. So I intentionally wear the same perfume every lifestyle event and when I'm around my sexy friends. And I love when, especially the girls, so the girls that usually notice, and V, you've called me out on this. And
Lilac.
Yeah. Brandy always catches it. She comes up and she hugs me and she'll smell into my neck and she goes, the lilacs, there they are, you know, and it's, I love that. I've created this like memory system around scent.
That reminds me of, it's so funny. I texted our girl group one time because I was like making food at work with coconut oil for kids. Like I was making like brownies for kids with coconut oil. And I was like, guys, why am I getting turned on? We use coconut oil with sex. And then our friend like responded and she was like, and why do I always think about baking while we're having sex? Yeah. So Sarah, you're like nodding to all of this. This resonates with you?
Yeah. Making those like associations and using that. I mean, it's not... As you're saying, yeah, it's not surprising. I like psychological play and sensation play because the two can really pair together nicely. Yeah. And what you were saying also about impact of like all of a sudden the pacing's one thing, you're expecting something and then you get something different.
It just makes me think of Pavlov's dog. Like you can train the body to do anything and just how so important the psychology of everything related to sex is so important. And yeah. I never really grasped how important the psychology is until having this podcast and actually being able to articulate and like coming into all these, meeting all these wonderful people like you who share these beautiful opinions. And it's like, wow, my whole perspective on sex has just really, I think, like skyrocketed and elevated in this past year. I don't know how you feel, V, but this has been an awesome like unraveling of new information and just how my perceptions on what I like about sex and don't like about sex have changed.
Absolutely. And that's why I loved going to this party where I met Sarah. And I was just like, it was this cool series of mini workshops where, you know, it was just a taste of sensation or a taste of play fighting, which I didn't know anything about. And, you know, I just want to know so much more. There are so many worlds and like segments of this sexual world and exploration that we can do.
Yeah. So wait, I want to go back to like your bag of stuff that you had at this event. Like, tell me all, because I'm a touch person. So what was in that bag?
Yeah. Like, most of the stuff that I'm playing with typically is around touch, but I like to incorporate other senses too. Electro, that's my bread and butter. I like, to answer your question before, I like both giving and receiving. Mm-hmm. I am a very picky receiver. part of that is that like, I definitely have some like sensory things. Like if someone is like, if a partner is like gently like caressing my arm and they stay on the same spot for like more than 5 seconds, I shake. I like can't, it's too overstimulating for that, unless like, you know, adrenaline is rushing and everything. And so, especially for someone with some sensory issues, typically comes along with people with ADHD.
Well, that's where the conversation in the beginning happens, right? Do you show your whole collection of what you have available to you in a session?
Yeah, we'll talk about it, right? So like my bread and butter is electro play. I love that. And then I love using household items and making them pervertibles.
Pervertibles?
Yeah.
I love that word. I had never heard it before.
Yeah. Someone taught it to me recently. I was like, oh, that's totally what it is. You take something like an everyday item and you make it perverted.
Oh my God. I love that.
Oh, Sarah.
Take your stuff on that one.
Pervertibles.
It's also like I had a butter knife and I'm not trying to cut anyone, right? I'm not about pain. It's just metal, especially if you put it in the freezer before, make it cold. that can be a really intense sensation, gently gliding it across someone's neck. I actually even usually don't even use, even if it's a butter knife or like just like a regular like dinner knife, I'm not using the sharp side, the serrated side. So a paintbrush, right? And then different paintbrushes have different textures. So you can like, if you like a more like tickly touch, there's wax play, which just be careful if you're using candles from around the house that you know what they're made out of. So because they have different melting points, and if they don't melt until there are certain heat, then that heat is going to
burn you.
You have to be prepared for that.
Yeah. I just want to touch on that a little bit more. When I started with sensation play with my Dom, I didn't know anything about this. So I think that's really important to note. Like, you shouldn't probably use household candles. Like, make sure you're using stuff that is specifically designed to melt at a low temperature point so that it is safe to play with on skin. Yeah. And they make so many of those, you know, massage oil candles or anything like that. Like, make sure you're using the right stuff.
Yeah. And also, right, know the difference if it's a massage candle, which like will melt into like an oil and then stay on the skin, versus like a candle, like a wax candle.
Yeah, you could just take it right off, you know, no residue.
My Dom used a red one, so like it looked like a murder scene. So I also recommend like putting down a tarp or something. Yeah. Have you ever had any issues with that, Sarah?
I've definitely used my like mini vacuum for sure to like clean up the wax afterwards. I'm also a squirter, so I happen to have like a waterproof sheet that I put on my bed anyway. And so I'm usually just like, great, perfect for wax play. Throw it in the wash.
Yep.
What else? Pulled pork shears. What are they called? Yes. Like, the claws.
Oh, meat, yeah.
Meat claws. Yeah, you can use those for sensation play. You can use banjo, like talon picks. That like go on your fingers and like help you like strum. They're sharp and pointy, right? You can do like a light like chills or even more like deeper scratching sensation. And these are like things that don't cost a ton. I mean, the electro, yes, but a lot of the household items you either already own or you can go to Michael's or Home Depot or wherever and get them for like, you know, pretty cheap.
Our friend, after we took your workshop, we were playing around with random household items. And one that was really fun was a Q-tip. If you close your eyes and someone does it on like your back or something, no one could guess what it was. Like, which is really interesting because that's also a fun little like way to gamify it. It's like, guess the household object. Seriously. And like, you can't tell what some of these things are.
Yeah, that's neat. Oh my gosh.
I like, I love games and kink. And then you can also use fabrics like lace, especially if someone has like a fetish or just like a preference for certain, like, ooh, I love when like my partner wears like leather or lace or latex. Like, that can all be part of sensation play.
I also loved how you, and you just mentioned it with like the shears or the picks, you know, playing also with intensity. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. With sensation play, it's not, I think people are like, oh, I like, you know, scratchy, or like, I want to play with shears. And it's like, yeah, but hold on. We have to talk about pressure, speed, direction, and location. Like, where is this going to feel good? Where is this not going to feel good? Doing something very slowly is going to give you a much different sensation than doing something quickly. I imagine that putting a Q-tip down someone's arm quickly, like just like a whoop, like
it doesn't do much.
And there's the science behind that is that certain like
receptors.
Yeah. Only get stimulated with slow touch.
Wow.
Yeah. And same with like if you're touching someone with a finger versus like a full hand, like just like imagine like on your arm, that feels different also because you're having like a broader area covered versus like a smaller area covered. That is also going to like impact how it feels. And there's not better or worse, but it's good to know either what you like and or what you're looking for. And then, right, there's pressure, which is like how hard are you digging in with a talon or a, you know,
vampire glove.
Vampire glove. Or a paintbrush. And how like lightly are you like just a little bit caressing it? And then there's direction or pattern. Like, is it in a circle? Is it in a line? Are you staying in the same spot for a long time, which for me is a big no? Or are you like traveling along the body? And if you are you doing that with intention? Are you following the bone, the muscle, or are you just like going to different places, you know, starting going halfway up the forearm and then switching to the leg is going to give a very different sensation than like traveling along the entire length of the arm across the chest to the other arm.
Mm-hmm. So there's a lot that goes into it for the giver.
Yeah. And it feels very subjective, like, you know, figuring out what they like. But I guess at that point you're watching for response, right? Because there's so many variation.
And sometimes you just try a bunch of things because you're like, I don't actually know. I want to explore. I don't know what I like. So let's try a few things and see what happens.
Yeah. So what kind of conversation do you have to have beforehand? Can you kind of walk us through like some of the communication tools and questions we might be able to ask the right questions?
Totally. Yeah. Yeah.
And deliver an amazing experience. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. The first question I think is like, I love the starting with the question of like, what interests you about this? Just to get like, not specific, but just get like kind of what first comes to your mind. And then sometimes I'll ask like, what kind of tools would you like to use? But sometimes again, like, why do you have meat claws here? I don't like, no, I don't want you to use meat claws, but like also they've never experienced meat claws. So sometimes I will ask, what kinds of sensations will you like? I often will do like a pre-scene demo / calibration where I'm like, okay, we're just sitting at each other. The lights are on. It's not a sexy mood yet, but let me just give you, you know, put your arm out, put your leg out, something that's not inherently pretty erogenous. And let's, how does this feel for you? On pressure, is that a one? Do you like it here? What do you not like this? Okay, let's try this tool. Can you imagine? And obviously it's going to feel different when like all the hormones are running through your body, but you can have a sense of like, oh, I think that would feel good if I was super turned on, or like, I don't want to start with that, but eventually I want to get there. The escalation is really important too, mm-hmm. right? You're not starting by like digging and scratching someone. You might start with like light touches first to also desensitize actually the nerves.
I also think it's so important to use these tools on yourself, right? Like as the giver.
Totally.
Like I'll smack myself with my own flogger and like feel my own pressure that I'm delivering to myself so I can like figure out how to do it to my partner.
Yeah. And I usually will demo it. Actually, I'm glad you said that. I will usually demo it on myself first so someone can see like if they leave marks when I say like low pressure, what does that look like? Because your idea of like not so much pressure in my idea could be different. But it's like, oh, here's me using on this. Oh, you see how I react. I shiver a little bit or like I tense up. You can see my reaction. And then would you like to try this either on yourself? Would you like me to try this on you and kind of demo the tools in broad daylight a little bit? I'll ask people what they're looking for, but I won't usually talk so much to them about escalation. I'm going to kind of see how their body responds and talk to them during, because I'm going to err on the side of like, what's the rush? Mm-hmm. Go slow, slower. Yeah. And then if their body's reacting, do they seem bored? I'll ask them those questions I'll typically ask throughout, because that really does have to do with like where your body is at any given time. I will ask about marks for sure.
Mm-hmm. Great question.
Most of the things won't leave marks. The way I play, most of them won't leave marks, but they can. And so, you know, want to be prepared. If I'm doing electro play, that's a whole like safety talk. Depending on if they have any heart issues, past seizures, if they're pregnant, there's another heartbeat you have to be thinking about.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Okay. I know nothing about this. And like, so my partner and I have this little electroplay kit, and I feel really naive saying this now out loud, but like, I never really thought about that there are risks involved with electroplay. We're just like, ha ha, zap, static electricity.
It depends. A lot of this is like me saying, as it is someone who teaches it, like, there have definitely been times where I have not remembered to ask my partner if they have a pacemaker.
Right. Or electrical stimulators for pain, because that can happen. That can be in the body as well. I don't know if that's a factor, but it's an electrical device.
Oh, I don't even know about that. And there are certain things where it's like, because of who I'm typically playing with, a pacemaker isn't common, but I still want to be asking that.
Yeah.
And be as risk aware, you know, as I can be. And also, even with that, like the chances of a violet wand on like a medium setting causing an issue for someone who's like had seizures in the past is pretty, I'm not a doctor, but my understanding is pretty unlikely. That's different than playing with a TENS unit, which has a lot more power, which also you can have pads on it, but you can also have things like insertables that you connect to it.
Ooh. Oh, I've never seen that. And you can put the TENS unit on inside the vagina or even like...
Yeah, so what I'm showing is the TENS unit can connect to like a dildo, a very specific kind of dildo that allows for electrical stimulation internally.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh my God, you just unlocked a new like fantasy or curiosity for me that I want to experience.
And the horrible life card.
Yes.
The most frustrating thing about the insertables is that you can't put a condom on it.
So rubber will block it is what I'm thinking. Rubber is non-conductive.
Yeah, it's bonded to me. So, like I can clean it with a toy cleaner and stuff, but like, ideally I would, if I was like, and I have I've let friends like kind of let them know my status. Here's the situation. Here's the last time I was tested. If you want to try this, like, let me know your status and whatever. And maybe you can with like close friends, cause they want to experience it.
So wait, so
I need to know. Yeah,
I know. I'm like, can you, I mean, I can imagine that you can initiate an orgasm with that for sure. Cause that's like. You can, right? Like you're saying yes.
Sarah's nodding her head like, yeah. Oh, yeah. And
the wild thing, and speaking about like in terms of broad, if you're touching like kind of in a wider surface area, that was the word I was looking for, a wider surface area, a narrow surface area, the more the dildo is in you, the less intense it will feel because it's touching a lot of space. But as you begin to pull it out, you actually feel it more,
right?
Because it's the same amount of voltage targeting a smaller area.
That makes sense.
So it can be very fun to play with like the teasing of like, do I want it in me fully and feel that like fullness, or do I want it like, which is intense, or I can feel it out of me, but like then that'll feel more intense because
just the tip.
Yeah, this is so intense.
Yeah, I have a feeling I would really enjoy this type of play because my orgasms are, I definitely contract my muscles. I have to squeeze, I tense, and that's how I orgasm. So I feel like having this stimulator to contract my muscles will absolutely be right up my alley. Yeah.
A great lesson is you put it in you first and then you turn it on. Because if you turn it on and then put it in you, you're getting the most intense experience first.
Ooh, good tip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're playing with...
Turn it on low and then gradually intensify.
Yes. Once it's in, turn it on low and then slowly... Right. Or just intensify it by pulling it out slightly or pulling yourself up slightly.
Okay. So can you like put this in an asshole?
Yes, that one isn't designed specifically for assholes, but it absolutely, if your asshole can take it, great, take
it.
They definitely have a lot of butt plug stimulation things.
Ooh.
They also have like, I have like a clamp that is electrified. There's like the everyday household items that you can use for sensation play. And then there's the gradually you can get more expensive. I think electro is probably the most expensive,
yeah,
maybe classified as like sensation play.
Much like a brief bathroom break in the middle of an orgy, we are going to take a brief break here and answer a question for you. A lot of people have been asking how to support us. So first of all, by following our Instagram, Girls Gone Deep Pod. And second, by rating us 5 stars wherever you listen to us. So you can do that on Spotify. You can do that on Apple. And on Apple, you can also review us, which is very helpful as well. To make this sustainable, we really ask for your support by buying some merch on girlsgotdeep.com/shop. If you are looking for something there that you do not see, reach out to us, DM us, email us. Support us also by using our affiliate link in our episode descriptions to shop for Woo More Play products. They have everything from vibrators to lube to pH balancing soaps, all of which we use ourselves and we highly recommend. And last but not least, thank you to our sponsors, Horrible Life. It is the card game of all things Never Have I Ever, sex and kink. So go to horriblelife.com and use code GONEDEEP to get 10% off your first deck. So we ran into a problem one time where there was nothing around that we could use. There were no household items. Like, we were in basically a room with nothing. And so what can you do with your hands to switch up sensations with your clothing? We did find a kimono with fringe on the end, so we were able to play with fringe, but really didn't have much else besides our hands and our mouths.
And your
hair. What would you suggest? Oh, hair. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
I love that. I love touching body hair. To me, like, that's a kind of sensation. Like, I just want to run my hands through. It feels so good on my hands. Yeah, I love that you asked that question because I definitely enjoy sensation play without even any of those tools, right? Different parts of your hand are going to feel different. Your nails, like the beds of your nails or like the like flat surface of your nails versus like the tips of your nails where you would like scratch someone. Like, those are different sensations. Back of your hand, front of your hand, one finger, two finger, five fingers, palm. And then knowing what areas are more sensitive.
This was very interesting to me when you mentioned this.
The tattoo thing?
Yes.
Yeah. That I have zero tattoos, but from what I understand, getting a tattoo on a place there's not much going on between the skin and the bone is like the most sensitive areas to get tattoos. Those are also incredible places for sensation play.
Wait, can you define that? What do you mean that much?
So like your spine, like, right, you can see someone's spine kind of through their skin, but like you can't see like my femur necessarily, like through just like by looking at, you can't like identify where my femur is. Mm-hmm. But I can like, and like touch it, but like I can, or not my femur, which is the thigh bone.
Yeah, that's the femur.
It is the femur. Yeah. Great. Okay. Yeah. The tibia you can see. But the femur you can't, right? Like trying to find it would be kind of hard. And so that's going to be a less sensitive area. So running like a Wartenberg wheel, which is like a pinwheel, that's like kind of sharp and pokey, like running that along the thigh is going to be less intense than along the spine.
And like
or the collarbone.
Collarbone. I think the rib cage would be another.
Ooh, rib cage.
Yeah. Rib cage, collarbone. Some people are like, oh, boobs. And I'm like, no, boobs are just fat.
Yeah,
like,
there's too much cushion.
You're not going to get a lot out of there. Like, it could be erogenous for like psychological reasons, but in terms of like where the nerve endings are going to like yell the most in like a fun way is not going to be there. So yeah, think about where getting a tattoo might hurt, which is sometimes accessible for people. And like, that's where, and traveling again along the bone is going to give you like a different sensation than if you're going like vertically across the collarbone. Like that the bone doesn't go in that direction. The bone is horizontal.
Right. So if you follow the bone,
yeah, you want to travel along there is typically going to feel better or is going to be more intense, but also less disjointed. I find that when people like don't follow a bone or an appendage, yeah, that I'm like, it's distracting to me.
Oh, I would agree with you on that, actually, now that you mention that.
Subconsciously, you're like, where are they going to go next? Oh, God. Like, you can't just like sit into the feeling.
Totally. It's exactly where I was. Yeah, I can't sink into it. Because it's like here, now here, now here.
Which could be its own kind of interesting exercise of like playing with discomfort. What's going to come next? Oh my, because I like to think of kink and impact play and now sensation play as like little microcosms of the world and life. And like, when I don't know what's coming next in life, it gives me a sense of unease. Like, think about the pandemic. One of the reasons why it was so hard to sit through it is because we did not know what was coming next. We didn't know when it was going to be over. So, you know, maybe doing more sensation play and switching up where you are would have helped us all.
Listen, as someone who's like bratty, like, not getting what I want is sometimes fun for me. I like feeling frustrated. And so if someone is intentionally doing that to frustrate me, intentionally not following the collarbone and being like, no, I thought you liked it like this. Don't you like it like this? Like, that is fun for me. But if someone is like, ooh, I'm going to put you in the mood and starts doing that, I'm like, no, that is not putting you in the mood. That is
like out of
the mood. Yeah. Like, using the psychological, like, right. None of this is bad. It's just like, no, what the experience will be like for your bottom.
Yeah, like what is your purpose with this, kind of? And to that point, does it always have to be sexual?
Absolutely not. I've done sensation play that is not sexual. There's so much that you can do before you get to like what is typically considered an erogenous zone, genitals, things like that. So yeah, hands. You can use hands in a lot of different ways in terms of, again, where you're touching, what the pressure is, what part of your hand you're using. And then I love to use my mouth as well, both for sensation play in terms of sound. So whispers, whispers can be, or like purrs or growls. When I'm doing some primal play stuff, I definitely like to incorporate a growl. And I guess it's more psychological play than like classic sensation, but it's just like remembering that you have more things other than your hands that you can use and at your disposal.
Yeah.
Breathing. Yeah. You can use breath and also like wetness from a mouth to have a lot of fun. One of my favorite things that you can do is there are hot breaths and cold breaths. A lot of us are familiar with the hot breath of like you breathe out with your mouth, kind of like a dragon, like you're breathing fire. And that if you like put your arm up to your mouth and go, like it feels warm. People are less familiar often with like a cold breath, which is sucking in specifically through the tongue or the teeth. You're kind of making like a slurp sound. If you put you can feel it in your mouth that it'll be cold, but also if you put it by your arm, you'll feel coldness on your arm. And then especially if you've licked your arm beforehand, that will intensify the cold sensation. Mm-hmm. And so you can do temperature play without ice, without fire, without, you know, a microwave or a freezer. You don't have to heat it. Like, you just use your breath. And again, use it strategically in places that are sensitive, like the neck, or right, in that case, maybe the nipples.
The ears.
Ears, yeah.
Yeah.
Biting can also be sometimes sensation, but even like without, again, getting into like what might be considered pain. Yeah. Just using the breath can be really fun. Also the sound of breath.
The one thing I like to do with breath too, is if I'm teasing my husband, if I'm getting close to his pants or he's just wearing his boxers, I'll just put my mouth on or close by and just breathe on it so it gets warm, but not really touch him. So it's a tease of I'm close, but not close enough.
Like through the material. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm also thinking like if I'm naked, if someone were to do that on like my labia, my outer labia, and like not even get close to the clit, they don't need to touch me. Just like lick the labia and then breathe on it. Like that, yum. Mm-hmm. And I can imagine it would be very similar for a penis owner, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. I really love that. Like, I feel like when I'm doing sensation play, I'm like, the world doesn't exist, like, because it's all body feelings. And I love that. And so it doesn't have to be this, like, necessarily, like, sexual thing. I'm just feeling in my body.
Mm. When it comes into the sensation of, like, temperature, and I'm even going to add numbness, do you ever use those gels or creams or any of those things in your sensation play? And do you personally like them? Because we talked about this, V, but we have our opinion, but I want to hear yours.
Yeah. I haven't used them. So my opinion is only so much informed. But my understanding is that that heightens the risk because you are not able to listen to your body's cues about what feels too hot, what feels too scratchy, because it's numb.
You're taking away sensation.
You're desensitizing too much.
Perspective, it makes me a little bit nervous. And then also from the whole point is to feel it. I guess if you specifically want marks, I guess like there's a way to like, there's probably like a risk aware way to play with numbing just to get marks. But yeah, I'm like, no. I want to feel the sensation. Like there's not a, if you're desensitizing me, like what is, yeah, no, I don't actually know. Yeah. I'm curious to hear what's your experience with it.
Well, I mean, I don't like numbing stuff either. I mean, I guess the only time that that's really used is obviously if men who premature ejaculate, that would delay their ejaculation. Right. But more specifically
numbing
for us.
Sprays for like deep throating.
Yeah. Good call. I forgot about
but
that.
But the gag reflex is there to protect your body as your doctor told you, Elle.
I know.
Her doctor like notice like, oh wow, you're not gagging, when he had to like do like a throat culture
or
something like that.
Put a popsicle stick in my mouth and like made me stick out my tongue, and like he literally stuck it like way back there and wobbled it, came back out and went tilted his head and then went right back in, did it again, and he was like, you don't have a gag reflex.
And he was like, that's not safe.
He's like, that's not good. And then of course I said something so inappropriate, because why not, and I said, well, my husband doesn't mind. He got so red in the face. He's still my doctor. We're good. We're cool. but anyway, yeah, you're right on the numbing spray in the mouth. But when it comes to like gels that are warming or cooling, for me, it's too distracting to me. It doesn't really, I don't know what it is about it, but I don't prefer it. And I don't like using them either. You know, those lubes and stuff.
Yeah. I haven't tried it, but like it doesn't intrigue me.
What does intrigue me is the ones that heighten sensation or heighten pleasure. And actually, here I'm in hedonism this week. We're recording in hedonism. So we have a friend, mommy brought a special gel, and she said she had two very intense orgasms last night. I haven't heard all the details. She just texted. She was like, I need to talk to you about this. We used the gel and it was amazing. So I'll report back.
Yeah. Anything that'll heighten a female sensation, I'm so down for. I'm glad that more of this stuff is coming out, because I feel like this is what women need to like help get there quicker and like feel into themselves, you know?
Sarah, you look skeptical.
I definitely have a different approach. Well, two things. First is that I am a brat and I like to play with brats. And so for me, any kind of like, before I like do a like bio intervention, I first want to do like a different kind of intervention. Be like, this is a puzzle. I want to figure it out. Cause that's when you're playing with a brat, they're a puzzle that you're trying to figure out.
Yeah.
This chaotic puzzle that you're like, I just keep trying. I'm not giving up. And that's how I feel, where I'm like, oh, like you want to feel more. Okay. How can we help you feel more? I want to be the one to do that.
Naturally.
So, like, yeah, it's not even like naturally doesn't quite totally like land with me, but it's more like, it's very self-focused. It's like, I want to be the one who does that. I don't want this gel doing my job. It's not like holier than thou thing. It's very much like, no, I want to do it. Like, don't,
don't take this away from me.
100%. That is my approach, but that's because I like doing that. But if someone was like, no, I actually don't want you to do that, I would rather feel it this way, I'd be like, oh, okay, cool. Yeah, it's your feeling, so you totally get control over it. But it's so funny that when you were saying that, I was like, oh, that doesn't resonate.
Yeah.
Like, I get why someone would like that. And it's not wrong or bad. It's just like, I'm like, oh no, if I'm bottoming, I want them to figure me out. I don't want them to rely on like, I want the prolonged. And also, I was going to say, that's another thing, is that like, when I'm doing sensation play, I block out a whole fuck ton of time.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had this with my partner, where like, I love slow when I'm bottoming, but also when I'm topping. and he does not like slow when he's on. Yeah. And he has a hard time with slow when he's topping.
Yeah, oh my gosh.
And so it's a very different orientation. So like he, I imagine, would like prefer that I like use something that would heighten sensation. And I'm like, no. I blocked out 3 hours for this. Like, come on.
I blocked out three hours for this.
It's not an exaggeration sometimes.
Oh my gosh, amazing. I love that.
Yeah, for That's me, amazing. I think a comfortable amount would be like an hour. What about you, Elle?
Yeah, I would say that an hour. Like I was thinking about the last time that we did sensation play where I was receiving, and it was about an hour. I will say, though, the one time that we did do sensation play, just to share anecdotal, I was in the sex swing and hanging, and I had a blindfold on. And while I enjoyed it in the beginning, I found that the longer that I was in there in the same stagnant position, I started to feel the pressure points build. And then I started to get distracted from the other sensations that I was feeling, because now I'm feeling my lower back, I'm feeling my neck, I'm feeling where the straps are. And so I couldn't in the beginning I was able to fully embrace, but then towards middle end I couldn't. So now I know moving forward, I said next time I want to be laying on the floor so I can just be like a total rag doll and just embrace and enjoy.
I should say 3 hours is usually with sex included.
Oh, okay. That's good.
Like, it's not just a sensation. No, that would be too much for me.
Yeah.
It reminds me of like Emily Nagoski, who talks about like the accelerators and brakes. Mm-hmm. It's like all these like things feel good and are getting me going. But when I'm thinking about these pressure points, because I've been in the swing for too long, that's actually breaking my like desire and arousal.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not that I need more sensation. I need less of the like not good stuff.
Yeah.
And just for context, sorry, Emily Nagoski wrote Come As You Are, and she has a new book, Come Together. She's a wonderful author, highly recommend. Elle, your turn.
One thing I was going to say, you talked about how you had like one thing that I thought of with the pressure points that you were feeling was, now, when you overstimulate a certain area, you start to desensitize it. Is that why you have like your 5 second rule? You said like if someone spends too much time on an area, is that what happens to you?
Yeah. It gets distracting for me. And so again, someone can use that. Like I said, I like gamifying things. So like if you're able to take this intensity in this one spot for 30 seconds, then you get the prize of that is the bratty shit I love, where I'm like, I want to earn it. Like, yeah.
I love that. And that's something that needs to be kind of like developed between you and the partner before going into it. Like, what's our goal here?
Yeah. And like, how are you? That's, I think, when I said it all the way in the beginning about like pain with a purpose, it's like, are you spanking me because am I feeling pain because if I do, like, that's the game we've set up for me get like earning pleasure, or because I was like very, very bratty, as opposed to like just pain for pain's sake. I feel like it's the same thing with, are you touching the same area because you think it's going to feel good to me, or because you're like trying to get me psychologically like in a state?
So one thing that we're really talking about is a lot of, I guess, non-pain play. So pain play and pain play doesn't, it's hard to describe. Like, I don't want to say that all impact play is painful, but more impactful. So like spanking, using different floggers. Do you ever use those tools in your practice or like have fun with that? Floggers with different tail ends, different, made from different materials, because they offer different sensations too.
Yeah, I will sometimes like run a leather flogger like along the back to kind of as like a warm up, like almost like a feathery like sensation, but like just the leather, the feeling of leather, but I'm not usually using it as a flogger per se.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Yeah. I'm so fascinated by floggers. That's like, I like using a flogger. I don't like to impart pain. I like more the thudsy type of I like the sound of it. Like everything about that whole session is so exciting to me. But I know that there are different materials like deer skin, cowhide, the way that they're twisted or raveled together. If they have, it's like a tail with another tail at the end of it, like a shorter one, like that offers a different sensation. So there's a whole other world out there, people, that we haven't even touched on, nor do I have any knowledge to go into it.
Like if I did know how to use a flogger, like as a flogger better, as opposed to just like the very simple stuff, then maybe I would incorporate it, but I don't. So I don't know. But I don't really.
Yeah. To your point, Al, the sound of a flogger is so beautiful, I think. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But anyway, none of us are experts on that.
Yeah. We'll bring one who – I want to bring someone who is an expert on flogging.
Yeah. So I do have one other question. So what do you think sensation play does for couples who want to engage in this?
I think it is a great form of play that decenters penetrative sex. I do happen to have an electrified dildo, but that is like a very specific. But what does it do for couples? So I think it decenters penetrative sex, which can be really nice. It is, I think, a kind of softer intro to kink also. I think it's less intimidating. It doesn't have as much of like the expensive gear, and like that can be a real barrier to entry. Also, it's just like getting into your body, you know, presentness with your body has great effects. All the studies on like mindfulness, I don't know if it would technically qualify. Like, I think there's ways you can practice mindfulness with it, but even so, just getting into your body. I know for me personally, vulnerable share, I like it because for me, attention is a form of like, is how I know I'm feeling like loved. Mm-hmm. And so if someone is attending to me and not in like a sexual necessarily way, but and is also like very intentional, going slow, thinking about where they're touching, to me, that feels like such a form of love and care. And I think that sometimes, you know, we're not feeling loved and cared, and like we're getting enough attention. So that is definitely one of the reasons that I like it.
Yeah, it's just another way to express like a deeper intimate connection with each other. That's non-sexual, and it's beautiful when you figure your partner out in that way without having to use those obvious things, you know, like sex. Yeah.
It's another way to be curious and exploratory.
Yeah.
Because we do have these. Like, I think when we center sex around just the clit or just the dick, which, you know, there's a time and place for that. Sure. We have these whole bodies with all of these appendages and all of these nerve endings. Like, what else can we do?
Yeah. That's so
cool.
Yeah. This is great. Thank you so much for being here. Oh, my God. Yeah. I learned a lot. I think I'm going to go on Amazon or some other sex store and get myself an electrified dildo, and I'll report back.
I'm going to go over to the nude pool right now and be like, hey, guys, who wants to do some sensation play? I just got some great tips from Sarah Eve.
Right.
I just use my hands in my mouth and my hair. Yeah.
Yes. The breath thing I'm taking into like all of my sex, I think, now because like – and to that point in the workshop, you know, when we licked a spot and then breathed on it, it's like, duh, of course that works, but how often do I actually use that? So, yeah.
Or receive it, you know, we forget about it. So,
you can do that to me anytime, Al. Please and thank you. Gosh. When you're in between spanks, you can like lick my boot. I think you've done this actually.
I've licked my butt
and then like
spanked it. Yes, I did.
And then spank it and also breathe on it and like, oh God, yeah. it's a great sensation.
Okay, taking notes.
Sarah Eve, do you want us to find you anywhere or are we not doing that?
Yeah, if someone wants to reach out with a question, they can email me at squirtergirl@gmail.com.
Okay, that's easy.
That's squirter spelled with two T's and without the E. And that's where you can find me. I hope you and that everyone listening enjoy this information and can use it in their lives. However,
perfect.
Thank you, Sarah.
All right, we'll catch you later.
Bye.